Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Well, do you ever do any name dropping? Name dropping. Well, you can think of name dropping in kind of a negative way and maybe a positive way too. A negative name dropping is like this. President Obama and I were golfing last week, and, well, fact check, he was in Florida golfing, I was doing putt-putt in my living room, where I went to see the new Star Wars movie with Harrison Ford. It's kind of intentionally ambiguous there. I didn't go with Harrison Ford. He was in the movie. I was just watching. I haven't even seen the movie. Anyway, you get the idea. It's a casually mentioning names of famous people in order to lift yourself up, in order to impress others, right? That's negative name-dropping. So what's positive name-dropping? Well, that's where names are given so that we have better insight into the mystery of the gospel because of certain names that are dropped. And these are all true and insightful. These aren't meant to deceive or impress. They're all true. And today in our text, we get a few of these name drops in order to help us understand the greatness of Jesus. Number one, the first name mentioned in the text, Moses. There's a big name drop, if you will, isn't it? Who was Moses? A great and faithful man for Israel of old. And what does that suggest about the birth of Jesus? He too will be a great and faithful man for Israel now. Both Moses and Jesus have memorable births. Remember Moses' birth, put in a reed basket in the Nile, Jesus being born in a stable, in a manger, I should say, right? So memorable births. All of Israel probably knew about Moses' birth 1,400 years later, right? A memorable birth. And now just think how many thousands of years, a couple thousand years now since Jesus was born, we still remember his birth. Both memorable births. And this suggests that Jesus will be remembered for thousands and thousands of years to come. That's what that teaches us. Moses gave the law, which Israel didn't keep, broke all the statutes and the covenants that God made with Israel. Jesus, on the other hand, comes to fulfill the law. Kids, say it again. Fulfill the law. Jesus fulfills the law, even starting this text with the two turtle doves, fulfilling every little law mentioned in the Old Testament, even from the book of Exodus, the two turtle doves, the sacrifice for every firstborn that first opens the womb. Jesus came to fulfill. And we know that he came to fulfill the law perfectly in his birth, even the city of birth being Bethlehem, the two turtle doves. And later Jesus says these words we'll never forget. I came not to what? Abolish the law, but to fulfill the law. And that's good news. One of the greatest reasons why Christ was born, to fulfill all things for us. Second name drop in the text is this man, Simeon. He was a priestly man, and he was, as the text says, righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and Luke adds that he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, therefore, what are we to make of Jesus? Righteous and devout, full of the Holy Spirit, not waiting for the consolation of Israel, though. What is he? He's delivering. He's bringing the consolation of Israel. That's who Jesus is. Everything mentioned about him around his birth gives us a hint to who he is and what he's come to do. He's come to bring the consolation, the comfort, and the propitiation. He's bringing all things that we need to fulfill from God's word because of sin and darkness and death. All things Jesus has come to fulfill and make right. That's who Jesus is as a Savior. Third mention in this text, Anna. Anna, a prophetess. And it also says daughter of Phanuel, or Penuel, from the tribe of Asher. Now, these things just go right on by. We might not stop to think about them, but we should. Who was Asher and who was Phanuel? Well, Phanuel is only mentioned once in the New Testament, although the name is mentioned once in the Old Testament. Asher was one of the sons of Jacob. And Jacob, as you remember, he wrestled with God. And you remember the place that he named when he wrestled with God? What was the name of the place? Penuel, or Phanuel, as they might say in the New Testament days, which means face of God. Face of God. Pan, pen, U-L. You can hear God in there. Face of God. What that, this might teach us about Jesus. How do we relate this to Jesus? Well, first, because Anna is mentioned, and she's famous, if you will, for fasting and praying, being very faithful. She was faithful to her husband for 7 years until he died. And then 84 now, she's been a widow, very faithful in the temple, night and day, fasting and praying. Very great reputation. And this says about Jesus, he's come not just for the men of Israel, he's come for all. There's neither male or female, all are one in Christ Jesus, as St. Paul says. Very important thing. But also, we hear this name, Phanuel, and we go, face of God. Face of God. Where do we see the face of God? Indeed, as Mary stared and adored her baby, as Joseph looked at that child, the shepherds gazed at Jesus, as the wise men later come and gaze at that face, Jesus, they actually stare not just at a face of man, but what? The face of God. The face of God here on earth. Simeon, you recall, also says something about death. He says, my eyes have seen your salvation. The Lord said he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Christ. And now he says, Lord, let your servant depart in peace, for your word has been fulfilled. My eyes have seen your salvation, right? And now he can taste death, knowing that all things are fulfilled. It gives us a hint again of who Jesus is and what he's come to do. He has an answer to the problem of death. He'll answer it with his own death and answer it with the resurrection. That's who Jesus is. We get these little hints, these name drops here, Simeon and Anna in the Old Testament. The name dropping about Jesus spans from high to low, from the revered Moses down to the middle, maybe, Simeon, the priest, and then down even lower, perhaps, in terms of status in the eyes of the world, the widow, Anna. You might say at the bottom of the totem pole. But the spreading of the gospel of Jesus, the spreading of Jesus' name, went from low to high. Moses can't come and tell others about Jesus right now, can he? He's in heaven. He couldn't even when Jesus was born. He's been gone for 1,400 years. So who is it that starts spreading the name of Jesus? Anna, the lowest in the text. So we start down below. She gave thanks to God and began to speak of him, Jesus, to all who were waiting for the redemption of Israel. Now, I don't know if you're up high or down low on the totem pole in the eyes of the world, but it really matters not, does it? If you look at the example of Anna at Christmas time, what are we to do? Give thanks to God. And part of why you're here today this morning, right? To give thanks to God for the gift at Christmas. But also we should go to, like Anna, and spread the news of Jesus' name to others, what you can do when you leave here today, especially to those, you might say, who are waiting for the redemption of Israel. In other words, waiting to be redeemed, which means to be bought back from sin, from death, from the power of darkness, those who are lonely, those who are in darkness of mind and in death, the power, the hours of death. We can speak the gospel of Jesus to those who need him, those who are broken, those who are down because of sin, because of loss, because of hunger, because of need. We tell those who are waiting for the redemption, being bought back from sin because of wrongness and injustice in this world, speak of the one who brings the justice, who meets it out on the cross, who brings the righteousness that comes by faith in a Savior who will make all things right. For when you think about it, the greatest need and the greatest name drop for others is not Moses, right? Moses won't save you. Moses can only give you more things to do. He's a lawgiver. But Jesus is different. blank, your favorite candidate for a high or a low office. He can only give solutions to temporary problems, and there'll be more temporary problems after that, I guarantee it. But who is one name drop that you can have and you can cling to for life that will be the answer to life's greatest need? It's Jesus, the Redeemer, the Deliverer, the one who is sacrificed for us to buy us back from sin and everlasting death, to give us the hope of new and everlasting life. He is high and holy in every place. He is also for the lowly and exalts those who are lowly in every place, the widow, the fatherless, the lonely. He brings the righteousness to all who receive him. High or low, all are one in Christ. Finally then, let's not drop the name from our vocabulary thinking no one cares, or it's too politically incorrect, or it's just a private matter. On the contrary, Jesus is the name above every name. Feel free to drop it here and drop it there. Name dropping Jesus isn't lying or needed to impress others. No, it's truth and life. He fulfills the law so you can go free. For as it says in the sacred word, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.